Welcome to the final podcast from Starbase Indy 2017. Maggie Cohen will discuss Klingon costuming for beginners.
Welcome to Beginner Klingon Costuming. I'm going to talk about how to make costumes. And this is geared for people who don't have a lot of sewing experience. There's a lot of, one of the fun things that you can do with Klingons is that there's so many. They've been on screen for 50 years. You have a wide variety of uniforms as well as civilian clothing that range from things that are very simple to things that are very complicated and pretty much anything in between. And one thing that you can keep in mind too with costumes is sometimes when you look at the screen, you look at it, you think, oh, that's kind of intimidating, or maybe there's some part of it that you're not really sure how to do. You can often simplify them. In the screen for like the original series, if you look at the female's costumes, it's actually this one-piece sports jumper thing. The one thing you can do is do it as a mini dress, because it will still have the same shape, the same trim, same mesh sleeves, the things that make it stand out as being that uniform. And instead of doing something more complicated, this had two pattern pieces. So this is a really good basic project. And so having that, things like that are a good idea. It's kind of being able to identify what's actually important in the uniform. What makes it stand out? Is it really having sports? Or is it all of this other stuff?
And then you can go to the bathroom easier.
Yes, because my costumes have to pass the go to the bathroom test. You know, if I'm at a convention all day, be able to go to the bathroom without stripping all my stuff off. That's just one of those things. That's one of those things you can think about too when you make your own stuff. You know, how do I make things work for me? How do I make this more comfortable for what I want to do? Whether it's using a fabric that you like better, or you know, being able to pee.
Think about that. Fabric is a big thing. Even the fabric for that. And the, a lot of TO vests, such as Chris is walking away from me right now, it's actually made from a curtain from Sears.
Yeah, this is upholstery fabric.
So it is a bitch to work with. Excuse my language, but it is.
This is actually not bad, but it ravels, so yeah, fray check. I mean, you can like serge seams and stuff, or you can get the little bottles of fray check and go along your seams.
Or just
very
a little
easy.
Over twice.
You can, but I just use fray check.
The stuff that I used, I found that I'm from Chicago, and there's a place up there called the Fabric and the Textile Discount Outlet or something like that, and it's like fabric and that got amazing. And the stuff I got was this gold, almost like, and it was gold and black, spandexy, almost like it had a little stretch to it and a little bit of give, but not too bad. And you can just look for gold. Really, just start looking at gold fabric.
Yeah, just look for a fabric that looks like that's close, because if you go on forums, everybody's always trying to find the perfect match for this thing.
Yeah.
So you're not really going to find a perfect match. You just find what's close and what works for you.
The company that made this fabric went out of business, I think, in the 60s. Maybe it was the 60s or 70s, I think, is when they went out of business. And this was leftover fabric that they used.
Yeah, so I mean, if you want to use a curtain, if you want to use upholstery fabric, I'm going to talk a little bit about fabrics later and choosing fabrics, because some fabrics are much easier to work with than others. And that's something that, you know, it's good to keep in mind when choosing fabrics, or just so that you're prepared for something that might ravel or might want to slip when you put it through a machine, so that you're not going, oh my God, what the hell is happening to me right now.
Oh, and another part. She's wearing Mara real quick.
Yes.
Her accessories, her pins. I cannot even use a Netflix with my 55-inch high-def television tell what the hell shape they exactly are.
They're like long teardrops.
The story I heard was there were someone's earrings.
What I can tell is the top one's long and purple, and it looks like it's somewhat see-through, and the bottom one is gold. That's the best I can tell you, and that they're yay-ish long. Mm-hmm. What I did for Sarah's was I found a mold at like a Hobby Lobby, Michael's kind of store. just a big plastic one. I think they were for Mod Podge. They were like a tray of molds for them. I just molded them with some resin.
I went to a bead store
and
just found some similar colors and got two of each bead and made so that it was about the right length.
See, I tried that at first, but nowhere around here could I find the right shape and size that I wanted. So, again.
Yeah,
improvisation.
Yeah, you just find what works, and often it's giving that idea. It's not how. I mean, there are people that are really into screen accuracy, and screen accuracy looks beautiful. I don't think I've ever made a costume that was truly screen accurate.
Well, first of all, with TNG for the men's, screen accurate sucks. You're using cardboard and bubble wrap for your belt buckle.
Oh, for Toss.
Series.
You said TNG.
Oh,
oops.
No,
for Toss. Yeah, I mean sometimes you're better off, and then sometimes the other thing when you're sewing, if you're new to this and not used to doing this, don't freak out if stuff doesn't look perfect on the inside because there's just where I've drawn where darts go, and I've just fray checked things. I'll usually write like the pattern pieces what they are when I cut them, so I know when I take the actual paper patterns off, like what the heck piece this is that's getting pinned to this other piece.
Which Princess
the
Kate's
top.
Not wearing this. You are.
Yeah, so it's like when you look inside my stuff, they'll have like writing and colored pencil in it, and so it's like
and
figuring out what's actually important. What's actually important is just kind of what you
so,
see. You don't
some of the other things is
perfect.
If you have accessories like a belt, for example, your belt can hide your zipper if the zipper stands out. If you're using an elastic in a certain spot that shouldn't have elastic and you got an accessory, put it there and it can hide it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yep.
Actually, the tube that goes around my next gen, I have to connect it in back and it doesn't quite all the way connect, so I've got a loop on my spinal armor that goes over it, and it holds, not only does the loop hold the spinal armor to my back, but it hides the fact that there's a wooden dowel connecting the two hoses.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Yeah,
and this is another thing with patterns, because one of the first things, obviously, when you have a project that you want to make, you're dealing with patterns. I've been sewing since 2011 maybe? I think it was 2011.
So before or after I came?
It was before.
Okay.
I think it was 2011. And one of the hardest things for me, honestly, was wrapping my head around patterns. It just never made sense to me. And through experience, I got used to looking at them and how they went together, but I still can't draft them to save my life. Like, if it's like a little overlaid piece, like these little strips here, I can do that. If it's something like making a whole garment go together, I can't. But what I do is I go to the fabric store and I look at patterns that have a similar shape to what I want to do. And then I can modify them a little. Like that simplicity pattern is where the Toss dress came from. I gave it a V-neck, I shortened the hemline, and used mesh sleeves. And on the far right of that wizard cloak pattern, I don't have the cloak with me, but I made a cloak for it for Klingon. I left off the hat, left off the sleeves, I had like fur trim around the collar, looked very Klingon. But it was actually this really easy, silly
wizard
like Halloween costume pattern from Simplicity. And so it's like, if you have an idea of just like the right shapes, you can find patterns that you can actually use to do about anything. And some stuff, like the pattern for, this isn't really a beginner project, but just as an example, the pattern for the base of this is a very simple jacket pattern that I have used for several other projects. Because if you just need that base to overlay other stuff, you don't need anything fancy.
And with a lot of what they've done with accessories, even the costumes for Klingons and most aliens on Star Trek, they have piecemealed basically everything together from basically their, for lack of a better term, I call it a junk bin is what I have at home with my prop shop, but but they basically, they find stuff that works. And once it works, they're keeping it. So do the same thing. Mm-hmm. Find what works.
Yeah, like my patterns at home, because I've collected a number of them over time. If I have a project, I look through what I have first and see if there's anything that's going to work before I go out and buy another. And like if I want to make first sleeves are popular with Klingons love for kind of grabber sleeves.
Sure, grabber sleeves.
Yeah, these are Tinas. Tinas actually pull on and hold up here. Some people will sew them into like a t-shirt underneath. But you'll see a lot of TNG Klingons have these furry sleeves. I just used the sleeve pattern that went with the jacket that's based on.
So with my TNG, I didn't bring my sleeves with me, but I have fur sleeves that are from a Santa costume. Sleeves from a Santa costume. Sewn onto a t-shirt. I found the square mesh, so I sewed that onto the front of the shirt. And then I added a mock turtleneck I used. And I sewed on a vinyl ringlet collar to use. So it's all in one. I slide it on, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
Another quick note about patterns. I actually fell in love with a website called sewingpatterns.com. They almost always have sales. Like, they have sales at every major, like, holiday, it seems like. The only downside, sometimes it's okay. It depends on how much time and effort you want to put into your pattern. You can print them out at home, and they will print it out on 8x10s, 8x10 pieces of paper, so you'll end up with like a huge stack of paper that you then have to tape together and then cut out. But the one thing I kind of like about that is now I have a stiff pattern instead of that tissue paper.
Yes.
And so it's a little bit hardier, and especially on a, I have a skirt pattern that I've used 3 times on 3 different Klingon costumes that I've done. It was the skirt for my Klingon Elsa that I was wearing on Friday. It was the skirt pattern that I was wearing with my regular one, my black and silver one that I performed in yesterday, and for the very first TNG costume that I built, where I took a shitty Halloween warrior princess costume and sewed a skirt to it, and like it was the skirt that I used for that. But they have a lot of patterns for all kinds of things. They can ship some to you, or you can also download them if you want. You could, in theory, also, I shouldn't say that. I don't know if you could take them to a place that does large format printing and have it work, but you can print them at home or print them somewhere else and then tape it all together. So if it's a hard to find pattern, it might be available online and you might not be able to get a physical copy of it, but you can get a print out of it.
Now, with regarding large format printers, if you can't go somewhere that has one, like a commercial place because of whatever reason, maker spaces and actually libraries, a lot of libraries are getting mini maker spaces, but maker spaces regularly will have a vinyl printer or some type of large format printer also there. And they're usually pretty active. If you come in with the file, they're usually printed. So
now, for those of you who don't know what a maker space is, that's that have machines that you normally wouldn't purchase for yourself because they're very expensive, like a laser cutter, several 3D printers, vinyl cutters, power tools, machining tools,
routers,
all kinds of stuff.
So my way of explaining a makerspace, which that's a good example, is imagine the gym membership you get, even though most of us probably never use it. At least I don't. But imagine the gym membership, but instead of having workout tools, it has power tools.
That's a good way to explain it. And some pattern tool. Obviously, store-bought patterns can be tweaked so that you can work across gyms. Also, when you look at patterns, if you're not sure about the difficulty level, a lot of them on them will say easy or difficult or experienced. They'll often be marked. And if you have something with a pattern and you're looking at it and you're going, I don't understand this, Google is your friend. But I did
you
this
too.
With
you
me,
do
yes.
Everything I know about
when
sewing, I learned from YouTube.
When, like, I did this. This is a very simple pattern, but the darts in the front, and if you're not sure what a dart is, if you're a female and have a bust, you will have places where it's taken in so that it shapes to your body so you're not wearing a sack, basically. And usually it has these pieces, like, you'll pinch it together and stitch it. Here they wanted it actually cut out and stitched together, which is kind of nice with the heavier fabric because you don't have all that bulk underneath, but it looked bizarre on the pattern piece because when you cut pattern pieces, they're for multiple sizes, and it might be like 16, 18, 20, okay, I need 18, so I'm cutting along the line that says 18, and there's all these crisscrossing lines for this dart. And I looked at it, and I'm like, I only have so much fabric, I can't screw this up. What the hell is this? I went on and I Googled the pattern by the pattern number, and sure enough, someone else had made that pattern and actually explained it. So I was like, oh, okay. That's what this
Kunmore explained it to you.
Weird thing is, and
I
cut it out.
Like that when I was building a next generation Starfleet uniform that had little bus darts for the women.
Yeah. Now, the same thing with Google's your friend, YouTube's your friend, and Facebook is pretty is good. There is
CAG Quartermasters.
There's a CAG Quartermaster group for one. But there, like when you go into sewing, there's 100 sewing groups out there. I've been added to at least 5 that are sewing for men type of groups. I hate getting added to groups, but it happens. And that's just the one that I got added to. I haven't even searched for them. But the few times that I've had questions, I went on there, typed it. Within 5 minutes, I've had 6 answers. Almost every time. Same with any tool you're using. I have the same thing with 3D printing. I don't know what the hell my printer's doing, I go in one of these groups before I know it, I have 20 different answers.
Yeah, the internet's just information at your fingertips. So if you ever run into a problem, I mean, there's a good chance that someone else has had the same problem that you had at one time, has figured it out, and is happy to tell the world how they did this thing.
Yeah. And then also,
it's really good.
Thinking about social media with the internet, use common sense when reading the responses. There are the people out there who are smart asses, who just like chaos, and who are trolls. They just want to screw you guys up. So
on the internet?
Yeah.
Yeah, not everything's true. I didn't know that.
It isn't?
No. So, but yeah.
JFK wasn't assassinated on the moon?
Yeah.
Yes, it is, and I got a bridge to sell you.
Yeah. Use common sense with it, but for the most part, you can tell in a Facebook group. Look through posts. If they're giving good answers, good answers, good answers, good answers, and then they respond to you something that you think is weird, like if it is, it is a good answer. Most people aren't going to, you know, be helpful to everybody but you.
Okay, now, I wanted to talk about this uniform because this is about the easiest costume if you really don't have a lot of sewing experience, you're like, oh, I really want to do Klingon, I don't know what to do. This is an animated series costume, and if you're wondering, why the heck are there purple Klingons? It's because the guy that did this was colorblind. And for some reason, nobody said, hey, dude, why are your Klingons purple? Because this wasn't the intention. But it came out with purple Klingons. Pink turtles. So it's a lot of fun, but it's also very easy. This costume is actually made of 2 sweatshirts sewn together. And I think I have some pictures of it. But basically, I got this top one that's actually proper for my size. This bottom one I got a couple sizes bigger so it fits over my hips. I cut the top one at my natural waist. I trimmed like this part off the bottom. You know, you flip it so it's wrong side to wrong side, and you sew this seam. And it's the only seam you sew in the dress.
You mean right side to right side?
Right side to right side.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the only seam you sew because everything is hemmed for you.
Yes.
So that middle seam is it.
That was it. Basically, this was like one day shopping at Sears, I believe.
Yes, I think it was Sears. And these are little buttons from Joann's with pinbacks glued to them. This is a t-shirt pattern with no sleeve. I left the sleeves off. And it has a whopping 2 pieces. Like, this is pretty much as basic as you can get. And with the animated series, because the coloring's a little weird, like sometimes like this part will look eggplant. Sometimes it will be gray. So it's okay if there's some variation. We did gray.
It was easier to find a gray turtleneck than it was an eggplant.
We were trying to match 3 people from our ship, so we wanted the same colors. So that's what we did. If you're a guy, this is even easier because you need gray pants, gray turtleneck. Then this is all you really have to
make. It's also a great winter outfit for men because the gray pants you normally will find that will match everything is gray sweatpants. So it's a really comfy winter outfit.
Yeah, I mean, this is a great beginner sewing project. It gives you some sewing experience. It does not ask anything strange of you. It's very uncomplicated. And you get a fun costume. Actually, though I've made quite a few costumes, this one gets some of the most wear. It's great on a Sunday if you're going home after and you don't want to put on a prosthetic piece and be uncomfortable in the car. It's great for smaller local events where maybe you don't want to go all out. So this gets lots of wear.
So to go to accessories a little bit more, you'll notice she has a purple belt buckle. Again.
Tina printed it.
Yes, so that's 3D printed. And that belt is from the TNG era, but
you could make it out of cardboard and bubble wrap.
Yeah, you could make it out of cardboard and bubble wrap.
And spray paint it purple.
Yes. So you can buy them online, mold it. You can get them 3D printed. Again, Makerspaces are your friend for 3D printing. The files are available. I know because I sell them.
And if you don't have a belt buckle, don't worry. In a lot of the pictures from the animated series, they're not wearing them. But there's this one picture of this dude with his belt buckle, and it's all been colored the same color as his vest because someone wants to wear it.
Yeah, and there's a small line that outlines it.
So
one funny thing about these was usually when I drew mine, and when I first print them, well, I don't do the printing part. I do the drawing. I'm a mechanical engineer,
she's
so I draw. But so my husband does the printing part, and when he runs the first ones, and I'll have some other failures later. I'll show you. He just grabs whatever color he has up close. And then, ironically, he printed these in purple.
Yeah.
And it's like, and he goes, I'm like, hey, these are great. I'll just go paint them. And a lot of my accessories I'll show later, like these are printed. and I just spray painted them gold. But yeah, that was the irony that he just picked out purple and she needed
it
purple.
It was even the right color purple.
Yeah.
So
dumb luck.
We're gonna talk a little bit about choosing fabrics. This fabric, slippery and stretchy fabrics are harder. Slippery, it's gonna wanna move in the machine. With stretchy stuff, you really should use a zigzag stitch so that it stretches without. I didn't do that with this.
I've never done that. I don't like how
I'm just careful how I put it on and it's okay, but you don't wanna like.
Yeah, I generally don't like how it looks, so I don't use it around edges, but I will use a little bit wider stitch just to kind of account for it.
I did a lot of stuff I shouldn't have done on this.
Changing stitches on a machine, I'm like, why bother?
This is from a few years ago, so like it's got more, like if you really look at the seams, I'm like, oh my god. I must have been fighting with the sewing machine at the time.
Well, no,
I don't know.
You guys did what?
Sometimes just changing out a presser foot. They make presser feet for stretchy materials and presser feet for different things. And I found that helps immensely when, because I use spandex and stretchy materials frequently, and I find just changing out the presser foot completely makes a huge difference on a machine.
We use the sewing machine I use is a Foff, and it has a built-in walking foot. Walking feet mean the top and the bottom are being pulled at the same time. And so it still gets wonky with stretchy fabrics. That's just, and that was how I dealt with it, and I did zigzag because, I have a tendency to pop seams.
But the nice one thing that I did want to say about uniforms, like this was drawn, so you don't know technically what this is. I mean, it's animated. You wouldn't have to pick a stretchy fabric if you didn't want to. Like, I was looking for a specific color, so I went into the fabric store. On my phone, I had a picture, and I was comparing colors. But you wouldn't have to do it out of this fabric.
Yeah.
So you can pick something that isn't.
I just found a fabric that was. It was slippery but not stretchy. So, and that's what we'll be using for cupcakes glass when we make that, but it's the same exact color. So, sometimes you'll find them one way, sometimes you won't find them at all, sometimes you will find them another way. So if you're looking for a very specific color and fabric, and you can't find it at your local fabric store, again, Google it.
And with fabrics, like if sometimes they only have so many, like I buy a lot in the red tag section where it's inexpensive, but it also means you're getting remains of bolts. Sometimes there's a lot of yardage, sometimes there isn't. If you do have the option to buy more, I would suggest buying a little more than you need for a project. That gives you room to screw up and not be like, oh no, now I have to run back out. Maybe it'll still be there, maybe it won't.
if it says a quarter yard, I usually get a half a yard.
Yeah, I would just, it's not bad to have a little extra. Like on this, I had literally just enough, which is why I was like Googling stuff to make sure I didn't.
That's not what Hades says. About her
screw it up.
No, about it. I have so much fabric in there.
She's sometimes I overbuy by accident. Like I bought fake black fur for a different project, this little capelet I was making for steampunk, and then I had all this fur. And I gave some to her for her fur sleeves, and I still had all this fur. I cut fur sleeves for myself, and I still have all this. Like the fur will not go away. I think it's regenerating. I don't know how I bought that. It's reproducing. I don't even understand it. I want that fur.
Well, send me money. Might be something.
I pick it up, and I'm like, what?
I'm a big believer in mock-ups too. So using old fabric remnants to make, if I'm starting a new project and I maybe am doing something that's above my current skill level and I want to try it out a couple times, I'll use old fabric remnants to try to practice sewing in a zipper the first time I sewed in an invisible zipper and, you know, things like that. Like I did it a couple times before I did the actual one with my good fabric. Because like that $3 fabric, I don't care if I ruin it. That stuff that I paid $15, $16 a yard for, I care if I ruin it.
Sarah and I go buy a whole brand new bolts of the cheapest muslin we can find of the same style material, of the stretch material. We'll find some type of stretchy, cheap fabric. Basically, if it's cheap fabric that I'm throwing away, I call it muslin, even if it's not muslin. So, but yeah, I always find the cheapest, same type of material because you can cut it, wear it, and if it's stretchy material, it fits you. You go buy a knit that doesn't stretch, and next thing you know, it's too tight. You can't even get it around your shoulders. And you look like Chris Farley, big man little jacket.
But just one thing, like when you're cutting patterns, and I have this issue, and possibly other women will sympathize, where often in women's clothing, they think that if your waist is a certain size, then your bust must be a certain size. But they're really not. Like, pattern sizes are different than your dress size. Like, if my dress size is a 10, my pattern size, it's somewhere between a 16 and an 18. Because up here I'm like a 16, down here I'm like an 18. I often, well, I want to cut it to fit the biggest part of my body, but then I end up taking it in. But it's a lot easier to take stuff in than to try and make it bigger.
Mm-hmm.
So when in doubt, I would actually cut it, if you're really, really not sure, cut it a little bigger, then you can always take it in.
You can also cut your pattern if you're a size 16 on top and a size 18 on the bottom. You can literally cut your pattern to be a size 16 on the top and a size 18 on the bottom.
You just got to learn how to read a pattern.
Know how to read the pattern and then gradually follow your lines and shimmy yourself in. I actually did that for my TOS my TOS pattern because I was like, this is my measurements matched in these different places and it was designed to do that.
Another thing is for men's patterns and men's t-shirts in general, or shirts in general, as you get bigger, how they make shirts bigger for us is they widen it. They don't usually lengthen it.
Mm-hmm.
So you may also want to look at the patterns go, is that even going to be long enough to fit me?
You can always lengthen.
Yeah, you can.
That's
another thing is sizes are always added. For men, my biggest issue is they're not, like, shirts aren't usually long enough for me. So I usually have to lengthen the pattern before I cut out the material.
Yeah.
Learn, and also, sewing patterns are not clothing sizes.
Yes, they're not. They're completely different. Your pattern size will be bigger than your clothing size.
Wait.
So if you're like, oh, I'm a size 8, and you buy a size 8 pattern, it's going to be very, very small.
It's only for this child.
It's going to be very small. The thing I did with the Discovery one was kind of, I cut it a little bigger because I'm bigger here, but it doesn't actually hit down here. So I'm like, why the heck did I even do that? I didn't need to do that, but I just took it in. It was fine.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not, if something's cut a little big, you can fix it. It's not a big deal.
On the vanishing rare occasion twice that I've done any sort of sewing that required complex shapes, it has to be like a pattern.
Mm-hmm.
I actually did it on paper duct taped together and cut out with scissors and stapled together just to get the fit to make sure that I was going to be cutting.
If you're not using a stretchy material, that works great.
So I was going to be cutting the vinyl properly.
Yeah, and vinyl is not a stretching material. Well, most vinyl is not a stretching material.
I found this really cool. It was actually wrapping paper on clearance. It was at Michael's, I think. And nobody, I guess, had wanted to buy it because it was like fancy, expensive wrapping paper. So they put it on clearance for cheap. But it was great because it had a grid pattern. It was just the pattern on the wrapping paper. But it was really pretty thick. And it's what I used to cut pieces out for that costume because it's sturdy. Mm-hmm. And then it had this built-in grid. And you got a whole huge roll of it. So I'm like, this is great.
Yeah, the cutting boards that have a grid on it, no matter what you're making, costumes, props, accessories, no matter what it is, I mean, I could go on for hours about what you can use it for. Them grids are a lifesaver.
The greatest tool I ever got was a cutting mat and a rotary cutter.
I never used the
rotary cutter. Changed my physical life. Yeah.
I never used the grid.
Oh. Well, I'm like, I can measure things, but it's nice when I can see exactly what I'm measuring. Geometry, not my strong points.
My strong point.
Not mine. So. It involves math. If it involves math, it's not my strong point. Oh, also, another thing to keep in mind with Klingon uniforms is, like, obviously if you're trying to replicate an original series uniform, a TNG-era Imperial uniform, you're doing something very specific. However, you also see Klingon civilians around, and if you want to do a civilian outfit, you don't have to worry. I mean, if it looks Klingon, it's fine. So knowing what types of things Klingons wear. Klingons, if you look at them on screen, there's a lot of leather and fur and those kinds of fabrics. And if you keep that in mind, you can come up with stuff.
What happened?
It's just tight. It's probably a screensaver.
We talked too much.
There we go. So with that, with what you're saying, of the episode, that if you want examples, again, if you took a TV show and recorded a couple of humans for a day, you'd have 30 different outfits. So when they're focusing on one of your characters, you're not only going to see examples, you're not going to see the broad range.
Yep, so you can have fun.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The Enterprise era episodes with Klingons, the episode of TNG where Picard goes to talk to some caretaker, I can't remember what
Sins of the Father.
Sins of the Father, thank you. has some civilians in there. I mean, they were great examples.
Also, DS9, House of Quark, where you see Grilka.
Yes, House of Quark.
I love Grilka.
The chef on Deep Space Nine. Mm-hmm. The chef on Deep Space Nine. So, there's a lot of good examples just by watching the show. And you will see, every one of them are different. It gives you variety. It shows you that, you know, if the civilians aren't all stuck wearing the same potato bag.
Okay. Tino's going to talk some about how she plans out her costumes.
Yeah, I personally like mashups a lot.
Me too.
Yeah. So this was my first attempt at a Klingon costume, and this was supposed to be a joke. I mashed up Lolita, the Japanese clothing style, with this, and this coat actually was very simple for me. This was a kimono top that I cut out, didn't put on the collar, didn't put on the sleeves. And then I fully lined it because it was easier to get the turn the fabric that way. Then this thing, we just hand sketched what shape we wanted. And I hand sketched what I wanted this for the collar. And I knew it had to be a square, so I took paper, folded it in half, cut it out, and I knew I had to have a neck. So cut a hole for the neck, which was, and there was my pattern. And then I found this, my mother-in-law makes, I do a lot of steampunk too, so my mother-in-law makes a giant, what is it, fezzes. And she uses this really stiff fabric, so that's what that's in here, is this really stiff interfacing. Now for this, I found a picture on the internet. This is totally with me.
I'm sorry, I was trying to mash everything together.
Yeah, so I'll get back to that one in a second. And I found this picture of what the shapes of the back pieces or the spine guard was. So I cut them out of craft foam and I hot glued them on this paisley, gray paisley. trying to get the basic colors of their costumes, but I'm not trying to be accurate. And here's my minis that I wore. And it looks really cute with a giant petticoat, but I didn't bring my giant petticoat because I would need another suitcase. And the next thing I did was, well, they have a big belt. So obviously I had to get one of the pretty rhinestones and flowers. And this is how I did my, so I could use any belt, because this is actually my second belt. My first one broke. I glued my belt that I 3D printed. This was the second one that we made. Like I said, those were the first ones. These were the second ones we made, and I repainted it. I glued it right on to just a sleeve of the same gray fabric so I could just slide it on over my belt. But this is actually how I go about my process. I decided to just start talking about that one. Basically, at the beginning, I just start gathering ideas. I have lots of ideas. I just start grabbing things that I didn't think of. The last picture was just like a bunch of pictures. I thought these were neat. I like these ideas. And then I narrow down what I'm looking for. I am going to talk about one of my Starfleet outfit, but I only have half of the gear. But it's a good idea just to show you what I did. I guess I should do that. Okay, I did a steampunk version of Starfleet. And I wanted to get, I couldn't figure out, I didn't have the pattern that she had yet for the sleeve.
You told me
I
that
could
pattern.
Not figure out. This started out as a bolo a pattern. So I just took the bolo pattern, and then I found another pattern that these really poofy sleeves. These sleeves are made of three pieces. One here, one top, and one bottom. They're easy. And you can swap. These were not the same pattern. You can swap pieces back and forth between them. All it depends on, you're just gathering them up and you hear them soon. And I knew I had to have a black V going down my arm, but I couldn't figure out in life and how to cut that because of all the gathering, and I didn't want to lose my poof. So that's what this was. I just put on another little feather piece to get my V and still keep my poof. But that was maybe the longest part was this. I'm very lucky because my mother-in-law used to be a costume designer. So I get a lot of help from her. The longest part of this was because she goes, there is a way, and I know there's a way, that we put you make the front, and you make it, or the inside, and you make the outside, and then you just, turn them. And she cannot for life ever figure it out. So every time we do a jacket with a lining, we have to sew it together, and she tries it another way, and she goes, I can't do it. You know, I'll figure it out. So this involved a little bit longer. That was the longest part. Try this. Nope, it didn't work. Try this. And if we had just, sewed it together, it would have been fine.
But it's kind of what sewing is like, though. Sometimes it's, this didn't work. Better try something else.
And I want to point this
time
out.
To move on to plan C.
Her mother-in-law was a professional costume maker.
Yes.
Okay?
But she was a professional costume maker for the theater, which is another thing I'll go into when you see some of my other
But
it has
with
to
that,
look good from 10 feet away.
So you will make mistakes. I'm not going to say you won't. I guarantee it, you will make a mistake.
And it's okay.
And it is okay. Learn from that mistake, move on. Fix it or start over, whatever you need to do. Just mistakes will happen.
One of the other things that was neat is when I got this, it was a size too small. So I was like, okay, I need to add on. So I added on here, and then I added on here, up here. So I was meant to add 1 inch, and I ended up adding 4. So we took that in up here. We just put this little feet right here in the inside and right here. So now I have a nice feet up there, and I lost coach. oops.
And with that, if you learn how to read patterns,
the internet.
Yes. you'll learn how they size up and how they size down. So if you can only find that pattern and it stops at a 14 and you're 16, you now know that, okay, well, I can add this much here and it'll fix it and I'll have a 16. So you don't have to go searching for another 5 years for that 16 pattern.
Honestly, one of the things other things I've learned about is for your when we're talking about fabrics, you can, like I said, when I was doing this one, I knew what I wanted. I wanted a color, but I didn't want a base color because, you know, that would be too plain, and Lolitas are definitely never plain. So I couldn't do lace because lace was not right. So that's what I picked for this. But sometimes you can't get the fabric you wanted. Like, this is my first attempt at this, and it's going to get changed, mainly because I found this place called Spoonflower, does custom printed fabric. Yeah, they're my new joy. That is actually a screenshot from the cartoon of what the fabric looked like. So it was actually striped. So it was just like, I'm so going to make this again. This is actually from the comic book, not from the cartoon, because I don't like short things.
The person who did that on KS, I don't remember his name. He also did an original series. He did a gray one. I think he did a red one. There's a couple on there for Klingon, original series Klingon. One thing about this, you're getting custom fabric. In other words,
yep.
You're going to pay for it.
Well, yes. This spoon flower is not cheap. The base price is $17 a yard. But this was basically, this was double lined because I couldn't figure out how to turn around. And it was easier just to cut out two and sandwich them together and just turn it. And then I didn't have to worry about what that looked like. But I would not line because it's just too expensive.
Or line with a different fabric.
Yeah, or line with a different fabric. One of the other places I found, and this is the other thing I'm going to do, now that I have a print of that picture, I can take that picture, and there is this, I discovered this place called Cow-Cow. Cow-Cow does custom printed outfits. I mean, they basically, I don't know if I have a picture. Nope. Because it has nothing to do with Star Trek. I do also cosplay Deadpool. And there's a character on Deadpool that he does, his name's Bob, Hydra Bob. And he wears yellow and green, and it's just the most horrendous colors of yellow and green. And I went in the future, in one of the comics, they had a dress. This girl's wearing a skater dress. That was another Bob character. And I was like, I'm making that. So I went to Cow-Cow, sent them pictures of it. Well, my husband put the pictures into it. Remember I said, don't do computers? I draw, I work with 3D stuff. I don't do that. So he put it in, drew it out on the, they came with a basic template. And you just put in the colors that you want and how you want it on the dress. And they have skater dresses, they have t-shirts, and all you do is put the design you want. So I'm going to end up doing a skater dress out of this with that striped fabric, and then I'm just going to take the ends and split right up the side. But this is where I was going to talk about my accessories. I started talking a little bit about them, but this was some of the other ones. I was told that this was the family name, so I put my name on this. I have one of my friends, right? My name that I go by on the internet is Black Rose. Which is a combination of my middle and my last name. So I had someone write, it says Black Flower. Close enough. And I found this was my sash that I wear, and I put all my stuff on. I found this fabric in a red clearance area, and it was a really thin, color. Yep. Yeah, so it was this wide, and this was, it's just supposed to be a trim, so I sewed a couple, three of those together, and this is my collar that everyone would wear, or you know, when they wear the final collars, I wore this one. And I wear that with most of my civilian Klingon outfits. One of the easiest things I've made for I wanted to make just a basic black shirt to wear underneath things, and the women usually have this part of their breasts open. Yeah, so here's this is the simplest shirt I have ever made. This, if you go buy t-shirt fabric, you can get it in a tube. This is the tube. There is no seam on the sides. I literally took this tube and I cut it here. And so I hem the bottom here and cut it at the angle, so I want that. Sew this back together, and then just roll this under right here, rather than sewing it back together here, and then I sewed the shoulders. So there was my boot.
Sure.
And now this was, yeah, that did come out really wrong.
Well, I was told that it distracts your opponents.
There we go.
I swear.
Distract.
Now, I used to wear a lot of Gothic clothing when I was younger, much, much younger. And I dug these out of the closet. And I was like, hey, this would make a good coat. So there, I now have a coat.
Kind of goes back to that with Klingon stuff. Like, hey, you can play with it. If you can make it go together and look Klingon, it
yeah.
works.
I made this skirt a couple of recently, and this is actually trimmed in blanket trim, so I can have a finished seam. Other than that, I just sewed together the pieces. This was much easier. I did this dress 3 different times. This was great, wonderful. And remember we were talking about stretchy, slippery fabrics? I did it in velvet and fishnet. Never, ever, ever again. That was a nightmare. But I did the same pattern. They also seem to wear lots of stretchy skirts. So this is the exact same pattern, but I didn't put the little V's in. There's V's in this. There's straight pieces and then there's V's. And I can't tell. There. I didn't put the V's. Now, there's my strappy skirt. And that was really cake. And I cheated on the top because they had this complicated way and put in the zipper and do this. And it's like, no. We're just putting plastic in. And then we're just putting it on. So that was what I did. And this was a secondhand store dress that I found.
You find so much crazy stuff like this in secondhand stores. Going to secondhand stores for TOS and like that glittery kind of fabric, your local Salvo, if you want to support them, knock yourself out. The Goodwill and Value Village, whatever you've got there.
Yeah. Also, as for props for your base prop, I have made lightsabers for and don't just check the toy section is always a good place to start for props, but check everywhere. I've made lightsabers from candlestick holders that are wall mounted. I mean, basically, thrift stores are your best friend. For fur sleeves, instead of going to buy that $15 a yard fur sleeves, wait until the end of winter when they're getting rid of all their fur coats. They'll have them all on clearance, they'll have them all cheap. Get them and scrap them.
Yesterday I was wearing this fur vest that I got at the thrift store. It was great for a civilian. Didn't have to do anything to it.
First sleeve
as well.
Oh, wow. And it was, I used turf fiber. And it literally is one, I just cut a ribbon and sewed it and put elastic in the top. So when they come up to here and they hang off me. That's it. And I was, for my civilian outfits, I wanted something to wear on my back and put stuff in it because, no pockets.
No pockets in the future, apparently.
Yeah, just like now for women. But this was an old bug bag that I used to carry when I would go duck hunting.
I like doing taking the fur and making like almost like a triple purse. So it's like a little pouch, and then you can either sew it to whatever your top is, or get little metal, like take an old necklace or an old, something like that.
Reminds me.
Or something a little hardy. And you can make little loops for it to put on a belt or something like that. And it's one piece of fabric that you just fold in half and sew up the sides.
Are you going to make a purse out of my triple?
Well, no, I'm not going to make a purse out of this. But using this as an example, this here is cotton and or like basically some type of fabric, fluff, full of fluff. Inside of two pieces of, we cut two oval-ish shapes.
That one's a little mouthful.
Yeah,
this tribble's a mutant. I don't know what happened to it.
So, put oval round shapes, flip them inside out, sew them together, put them the right way. If you want a purse, just leave an opening.
Actually,
I mean, you got a triple purse.
there's a place that I just discovered a couple months ago, and I bought clothes from them. They're just, remember that they're Chinese sizes, so add on 3. And I'm not kidding, I wear 5X. And it barely fits. but they have triple purses. I am not kidding. They're little fur balls. And they have chains coming
like
out
tribbles.
And they pop open. And they're only, this place is dirt cheap too. It's like, I think it was $10 for that.
I liked having the fact that my purse matched my sleeve. Mm-hmm. And then I was also able to match it when I made my, when it added to my sash. Because since I usually do wear a corset, I have a metal, it's actually like an aluminum sash. And so that it wouldn't scrape up my skin, I used the same fur to make a little sleeve around that. So I have all of this matching fur, and it looks like I basically slayed an entire family of tribbles to make my, like.
That's how you should do it.
My necklaces I wear with a lot of my costumes. Don't ask me what it is. I don't know. I found it at a punk show in the mud. So I found all these cute little metal parts. I'm like, I really like these, and strung them on.
Now another thing you can do for just for accessories, I got.
We should probably move over.
Yeah.
Well, I was gonna pick out one.
But we're going off that necklace. Another nice accessory is you can buy elf ears or Vulcan ears really cheap. Poke a couple holes in them, put a string through them. You now have a Vulcan. Vulcan trophy.
Now I know what you've been doing in your spare time.
A friend of mine, found some bones, and they actually made a little a Cardassian neck bone necklace.
Oh, Maggie!
Like I've been LARP, and they gave me some 3D printed Andorian antennas. I'm gonna drill holes in them. And I'll make the necklace out of Andorian antennas.
Well, my character wanted to kill that Andorian anyway, so.
Yeah.
Shame now.
Yeah, this was a skirt that I had when I used to dress or work at Ren Faire. But I also found a fan picture of a bunch of Klingon women, and one of them had this long thing. It wasn't necessarily chainmail, but it had this shape and this color, and I was just like, I own this already. I'm going to go get it.
The Princess Leia flaps are used in a couple of different other comics and shows.
Oh, excellent. I woke it up. And
no problem. I think the only thing last thing I wanted to say when I was talking about the props or my accessories, I make a lot of my jewelry, I make a lot of my designs, and I steampunk a lot of the emblems. Like, there's my Federation one with the gear behind it. Yes, I do. I like to put the gear behind it. And there's my Klingon one. But the one thing I can say, if you don't know how to do this, and if you have money to burn, Shapeways is great. They do a lot of custom, there's a lot of stuff there, and they're all for sale. And you can actually, now you can get them made in metal.
I'm a fan of magnets, too, especially for things that, women that are close to the skin, if you're wearing, you know, using magnets instead of pinbacks.
Yeah.
You can get earth magnets, and the only thing you have to do is make sure they're not, because I made this mistake the very first time I did it. Just make sure that your polarities are all the same.
We're
things get a little crazy, and things start holding up and sticking to each other. And stuff. But yeah, you can get some nice flat earth magnets, and they work great, and then they don't rub the skin or hurt the skin.
I bought a box full of magnetic badge holders, and I use that to keep my sash from falling off my shoulder.
That's a good idea. Oh,
yeah. So, one thing, she mentioned Shapeways. It's a site that basically you can send a 3D model to, they'll print it, they'll send it to you. They're not cheap.
No, but they also have their own 3D model, so if you don't 3D model like I do, and you don't have your own 3D printer, this is another way. And if you don't have a makerspace near you, this is another way.
So, I would personally say, if you can, unless you want something specifically in metal, but if you're just looking for a 3D print, there's a lot of us prop makers who have 3D printers who print on demand. There's services out there for that. Try to find one of them. They're usually a lot cheaper than Shapeways.
Oh, but I found some really cute, stuff that was not major props based off the TV shows. It was more like costume jewelry. for like the what Klingons wear, yeah. Which would be something that prop makers would not do. And that's why I was.
So Thingiverse also has a lot of things. I'm using Tina's here. This is a drinking mug. So we're getting to prop accessories. This here would probably cost about $75 to $80 to have from Shapeways, where I could print it probably for about $20.
Fair warning, though, and that's why this got this weird lining in it.
Yeah.
We didn't know if it was color or food safe, so we lined it in beeswax.
Yeah, so certain mirrors are food safe and all that, but that's not very common as a prop issue. Now, going into props, you have 30,000 ways to make props. 3D printing, wood carving, molding, clay, and I could go on for hours about how to do each one. The simplest one, find pins that look Klingon. Some of the pins I wear on my sash, when I wear a sash, is from Disneyland. And they're sci-fi world, I can't think what it's called, not the new Star Wars one, but.
I don't know.
But I found some of their pins that they sell, because they're apparently Disney's all about collecting pins.
Mm-hmm.
So I found some pins that looked warriorish. Them on there. So if it looks Klingon, it works. Klingons are known to have spiky looking basically pins and accessories, so go for it. If you're looking to make it, use your creativity. There's a ton of references online, like I mentioned before like, for example, civilians, it's all furry. But if you're looking to go into something from Next Generation, and you don't, there's a ton of references, the photos are great, you can find almost anything you want. I got a ton over here. I'll quickly go through these, because we're running into time.
Yeah, also I want to make this in terms of props and stuff. Obviously, prop weapons are popular, and Klingons often carry bladed weapons. You want to make sure that you have stuff that's actually con safe.
Yes.
That means don't bring metal weapons. You can buy weapons from wood, out of foam,
and
things that you don't have to worry about someone who's drunk at a party or like a little kid like coming up and grabbing something that could hurt them.
And
most cons won't even allow a metal weapon in.
Yeah, so first of all,
who checks? It's very con dependent.
Yeah, so, okay.
The peace bonding is real.
No matter where you go, what we are calling con safe is wooden, not sharp. Generally won't hurt you. Yes, a wooden bat will hurt you.
Isn't going to shoot projectiles.
Yes. Now, we say that. Every con in every state, every city has their own rules. What we call con safe is not what that con next door will have, will allow. There were cons recently due to some issues like Phoenix Comic Con. They're banning all weapons altogether.
Mm-hmm.
If they ban weapons, it doesn't matter what your fan group says. It doesn't matter what we say here. That con rules, because you're at their con. So make sure you take your time and look up their rules ahead of time. Some of them will have very strict rules and not follow them themselves. Expect them to follow. Don't expect anybody to never follow the rules. So that's a big one with that. With it, how to make ones, you got 3D printing here. A lot of this isn't Klingon, but like it's 3D printed and painted and smoothed out. Let's see here. Oh, another thing. Apparently in the future, they went back in time and got rid of pockets. So I actually like to carry stuff. So Maggie went and grabbed a pouch to put on her.
Yes, I'm a little keg patch.
This here,
an army supply store.
This here is a wine bottle holder that I found at.
That'd make a great sleeve.
Somewhere, I think Joanne. And it has a string. I tie it to my belt, and now I have a pocket. So
actually, women have more pockets.
Other ways. Nerf guns. You remake a Nerf gun, you can make it look like anything. And Nerf guns come from little guns this big to four times this size. So, using the puzzle floor mat, you can can, it's called EVA foam. You can make, you can carve your own. And this is really soft, really easy.
What kind of paint though?
That's acrylic. That's acrylic paint from a hobby store.
Okay.
Putting on handcuffs out of wood, 2x6. This pattern is online to find. I made a stencil with a little vinyl cover I have, a Cricut basically, to make the logos and get them on.
It
then,
works too.
Yeah.
Can't handcuff something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now these are big hands because I was doing these for a jail. Well, I was doing this for a jail. I didn't want to hurt anybody. But yeah, so obviously you can add padding in there however you want to make it comfortable. The big thing about the other way is just to buy one pre-made. This is a Minion fart gun. My disruptor somewhere there, but I mean this one makes noise. So when I do my Minion, I can run up to somebody and go. On the disruptors, battery operated. How I mentioned, you will make mistakes. This started out as one of my mistakes. This is a Klingon pad that has a handle. You see it on a couple of Deep Space Nine episodes with Mark talking and all of them. I first casted it, I picked this up with a handle, and it broke. So as I was going to pitch this at my Dremel setup, right by my garbage can, I looked at my Dremel, I looked at this, I looked at my Dremel, I looked at this. I got a very evil smile on my face, and I said, I can do something with that. And I threw it on the table. And this is what happened to it. It basically became a battle damage looking pattern. And it's still one of my favorite pieces I've ever made. Now, one thing about it, when you're looking at a prop, you be a Batleth, a Mechleth, or whatever, and you're carrying this around all day. Okay, now I'm at this booth. Now I have to set this down and do it. Now I have to pick it back up and I have to carry it again. Some of this light isn't too bad. Once you start carrying a wooden bat left around, it gets tiring quickly. So
something to keep in mind.
Yeah, something to keep in mind. So for disruptors, you got holsters. If you're carrying a bat left, you need to worry about your speaker phone, how you're carrying it. If you're carrying a bat left this way, you just became 4 times wider than you're used to. If you're not paying attention, you will bust somebody in the head with that bat left. And it's kind of safe, but it still will hurt. Mm-hmm. So, now if you carry it this way, you have 4 spikes sticking out in front of you. Mm-hmm. And if you're not paying attention to where you're walking, you go, oops, mm-hmm. and you run into somebody, again, it's still going to hurt. So, with your props, make sure you know how you're carrying them. Make sure that you know that you have them, because after a while, you just don't realize you have something on you. After a while, you just get used to it. Even something like a disruptor on your hip makes you stick out an extra 4 or 5 inches.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to learn that your width is not the same as it was. So it's things to keep in mind. Just walk around. If you're doing a Klingon with an eye patch on, realize that half your vision is missing.
Mm-hmm.
I went to a Starbase India a while back, and I got an eye patch, first time I ever wore one. And I actually forgot I had it on, wasn't paying attention. And next thing I know, I'm shoulders checking people. It was very Klingon, but it was very rude. So, and have to go, sorry, sucks. So just make sure you keep in mind what you're wearing, how you have it held, and all of that with your props. So.
And I wanted to say, I keep hitting buttons. I gotta stop doing that. Okay. At some point, you're gonna move beyond beginner stuff and want to move on to bigger projects. And one thing to keep in mind with when you see costumes on the screen, don't let them intimidate you. You can take the time to break them down, to look at them. If you need to write directions for yourself, do that. It can really help just get organized from the very beginning.
Can I use an example for a minute with this? No, just you and Jim. Yeah, so breaking down is a great point. This has 7-8 different parts on it, but it's really a lot of small parts. You have a vest. We explained all about vests. It's one thing. You have red pants, that's one thing. You have a shirt, that's one thing. A pair of black pants underneath, one thing. Mesh pants, one thing. Think of it that way, it becomes a lot smaller of a project.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get it a lot more done that way.
And then to remember that, you know, don't forget, like at the heart of costuming is it's
fun. You get to do something creative, you get the pride in wearing something that you make, even if it's a little rough in spots. It's still amazing to wear something you've actually made. You get to meet new people that share your interests. It's really fun. It's not, you know, it's not all about screen accuracy, winning costume contests and stuff like that. It should be enjoyable at its heart.
It is. I built Klingon Elsa specifically, actually originally for today, because today is student day and like the kids' day. But timing wise, I couldn't end up where I knew I wasn't gonna, once I got here, I realized I wasn't gonna be able to wear it today because of how busy I was gonna be and I had having to get out of my room. So I wore it on Friday instead. And that I built it specifically for today, for Sunday. And I decided on a whim to enter the costume contest after I got here. I had spent a month working on it, and I just was like, oh, it'll be fun. And I had a performance the night on Saturday, so I was like, I can use it as a chance to kind of promote what I'm going to be doing. And, you know, and just, and that was the whole reason that I entered, was just because I spent some time working on it and, you know, was already going to be wearing it anyway. And used it as a chance to be like, hey, I'm singing tomorrow. And then I won best overall in a costume contest. It was the first masquerade I've ever entered. I did a TOS week. Pad ran a costume contest, like, just individually for TOS stuff a few years back. And then my very first thing I ever built was for that. But this is the first time I competed against people who had far higher skill levels than me. Like, I you know, and in more of a general, like, costume masquerade, and I was like, what just happened? So.
Also, one last thing to keep in mind, we are a community. It doesn't matter if you're CAG, IKF, don't have a club, whatever. If you're dressed like a Klingon, it's the same as if you see them like dressed like a store group. It happened with a lot of communities. You set an example for all of us. If you go into Klingon and you become an asshole, for the first time that people see somebody in Klingon costume, they're going to think every other Klingon customer is an asshole. So, in a way, you represent us all. So, be polite, be cool, have fun, but don't have fun at someone else's expense. So.
They have long cloaks that come over.
Sometimes, yeah.
One thing, you guys could talk about her pockets.
Oh, yeah, you can build stuff.
Well,
you can build stuff. Yeah.
Inside, mm-hmm. But I just say, if anything, the Revolutionary War, they have what's called pockets. It was big pouches that was on a little string.
That's why I built my triple, when I built my triple pouch and added it to my belt.
Okay.
Like that idea
I think
of
you know,
incorporating that.
Well, I mean this.
But I know if you put it into the costume itself, it's going to bulge out. It will.
Well, I made mine specifically to draw attention to it or to,
yeah,
like, you know, have it
I
be part of the costume.
In 2 days to make, and well, another 3 piece, but
right.
To wear, to carry as a purse, because I knew today I would need.
Do you need help?
Probably. Oh, one of the things that I said are about failures, this. This was the, you know, sold things on my sleeves. Well, this was the first draft. I made it way too thin, and it snapped as soon as I picked it up. And I was just like, well, that's not cool. Yeah, I had
to the first sash and put card pockets on the back of it.
Oh, that would
so
be nice.
At least to keep my profile.
Yeah, that's
and
all the
business
that.
Cards.
So,
yeah,
once you get the next generation, you got the command cloaks, which made life so much easier.
That's at war last night. I need to sew pockets to the inside of it. You never see it.